And as promised, we go now to Jerusalem to talk with Rabbi Yoel Karen. This is a special time of the year. It is the Jewish feast season, and of course the first of the Jewish feast being Passover. And Rabbi, I just wanted to get a Jewish perspective on actually how the Jewish people approach Passover. Now, this was a command given way back in the book of Exodus that the Jewish people were each year throughout all of their generations to rehearse the Exodus. Is that really the focus, and that's what you're looking at, remembering what happened some 3,500 years ago?
Absolutely. That's the primary focus of the entire holiday, the entire evening. And indeed, it's the focus of most of the Torah holidays, of the Feast of Tabernacles, of all of those. They're all, in Hebrew it's called a Zecher v'Yitziat Mitzrayim, a remembrance, a memorial of the Exodus from Egypt. So yeah, that's definitely the primary focus.
When you get together with your family and friends that may be invited in as well, and you have the Passover Seder, and I've been in Passover Seders in Israel with my Jewish friends. Man, those are some type of elongated programs. I mean, it goes on forever and ever. Does it not seem so?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Seder, the text that we have today that most people use has grown exponentially over the centuries and quite a bit just in the last few hundred years. All sorts of songs and hymns and things were added on and explanations of Scripture. I follow a much older version of the service, and it's much more condensed, much lighter on the liturgy, and gives you a bit more time to focus and explain to your children, which is what the commandment really is. And you shall, when your son asks you in that day, you will tell him everything that you're doing here. This is for what the Lord did for me when he brought me out of the land of Egypt, because every single one of us is to see ourselves as if God brought us personally, each and every one of us. He brought me out of the land of Egypt, not just my ancestors. He brought me out of bondage.
And this is a special time, as you mentioned, with your children. And in fact, is that not the purpose, to gather them around, to love them, to remind them of the heritage of their forefathers?
Absolutely. Much of what goes on during the night, things are out of order, things are different, things aren't the same as a regular meal. We do things so much differently, and this is all designed to get the children to ask, why are we doing this way? Hey, how come we're doing this? That's not what we do normally. And then it gives you an opportunity at every turn to sit there and explain to them, because of what the Lord God of Israel did for me when he brought me out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, and brought me into this land.
Boy, that is a special time. Loving children asking questions about the history of their forefathers. I can just enjoy thinking about it as you are telling us about it. Now, I know there's been many different implements added to the meal, for example. Many different varieties of meals are served. But as I remember reading the text there in Exodus, you had to have a piece of lamb, you had to have some unleavened bread, and then you had to have some bitter herbs, which were the three basic ingredients for a Passover Seder. Why has the other been added? Is that just for convenience or what?
There are other things that are in there. I do things a little bit differently, and mine is much closer to what you just described. The main elements there are basically two types of meat, because there was a second sacrifice. There was a festival offering also offered on that same day, in addition to your Passover lamb that you would offer, which is really the main focus of that night. That's why it's called Passover. That's why it's called Pesach, is because that's what that sacrifice is called. When you see in the Scripture eating of the Passover of the Lord, it means it's talking about that lamb, that sacrifice. In addition to that, there was another sacrifice called the Chagigah, and that's a festival offering. So we'll have two types of meat out there on the table, one in remembrance of the Passover lamb, one in remembrance of the festival offering. And there are all sorts of other things. There's a thing called haroset. Haroset is it's a mixture, and different communities from different parts of the world make it differently, but it's to represent the mortar that we had to make to stick the bricks together. And you dip your matzah and your lamb and your bitter herbs in that. and to remind you of the bitter bondage and the mortar. So there are all sorts of different communities have things. Some communities have salt water, and they say it's to remind them of the tears that they shed during bondage. So a lot of different customs have cropped up.
Well, it's a special time, no matter what they have at the table, and it's in remembrance of what the Lord did for the Jewish people under the leadership of Moses some 3,500 years ago. Talk to me about unleavened bread. Now, remind everybody eavesdropping on this conversation what the ladies of the house do prior to Passover and the beginning of unleavened bread. Is this not where we got spring cleaning from, the idea for cleaning up before the Passover?
That's what a lot of people say, is that this is where it came from. And so, yeah, you're basically going through the whole house. The Torah tells us that it will not be seen and it will not be found in our dwellings, no leaven. And so we go through and we get rid of all this stuff. And that's what's going on in my house right now. Everything that we don't need, that we're trying to use everything up that we can before we get to, as soon as we don't want to waste anything that's left over. Some of it will be given to the poor, the Bedouin that are here that come through our community, and we'll put things out for them to take and to have, because we don't want it to go to waste. But we the last of it that comes out of the house, the eve of Passover, the last of the leaven that comes out of the house, we'll take it down and we'll burn it up. And then we'll officially declare, I'll declare my house to be free of leaven. And we know that there's no such thing as being totally free of it. And so what I'll do is I'll declare in front of everybody, in front of God, that, listen, I've done my best. I've gotten all of it out of the house that I know about. Anything else that's left in there that I do not know about and couldn't find and couldn't see, I'm declaring it to be like the dust of the earth. Whatever happens to it, I don't care if there's some sort of a speck or something, it's just like dirt to me. That's something that I care about and want to keep. So yes. That's what goes on. But it's pretty much just feverish cleaning this whole week and a couple weeks leading up to it.
Wow. Well, that is a reason for the ladies today, non-Jewish, to clean up at the springtime, get everything just beautiful for the family to live in that surrounding. Well, I know there's supposed to be a sacrificial event to take place, but I understand prior to Passover, the Israeli government said that there would not be allowed the opportunity for some of the religious Jewish community to offer a sacrifice of a lamb. What's the latest on that?
Well, again, you know, the government has denied it once again. But again, slowly but surely, things are changing. I'm seeing changes that I never knew if I would see in my lifetime. I've worked to see these things change, and actually I'm beginning to see some of the fruits of it. You know, even after the temple was destroyed, the Jewish people that lived in the land of Israel continued to roast a whole lamb as a remembrance. This is what it meant to have a remembrance of the Passover lamb. And so they would still do this. In other communities, they stopped doing it. And it's recorded all the way down to the 7th century. Jerome, the Catholic Church Father Jerome, writes about it when he lived here in Bethlehem, that every Jew on the 14th of Nisan brings a lamb and slaughters it and roasts it. And I've been doing things like that for years now, and it was just a few crazy people like me and Baruch ben Yosef, who you know, but now we're seeing some of the more normal people here, even in my community. There's a bunch of guys that have gotten together. They purchased a lamb. They're going to slaughter it Sunday or Monday right on Passover Eve and cook it and divide it up for their households. So these ideas are beginning to come back into people's heads. They're beginning to realize something is missing. Something is missing, and this plate with some vegetables and some whatever they have on these Seder plates, it's not cutting it. And this is a sad, sad substitute for what's supposed to be, for what God told us to do, for what He wants us to do. So thank God things are changing.
Yeah, thank God. And a very interesting insight from the Jewish perspective on Passover. Well, let's change the subject just a little bit. President Obama visiting in Israel, making a statement to the Palestinian leadership that they understand the United States I'm talking about, that the Palestinian people need to have a sovereign state and rid their state from the occupation. I don't want to get necessarily in the occupation issue, but when he says a sovereign state, as I understand it, the Palestinian people claim that the Temple Mount belongs to them. That's a Jewish settlement or a Jewish area that should not be in Jewish hands. What does this bode as it relates to the Temple Mount and the work's been going on to try to reclaim the Temple Mount for a Jewish presence?
Again, this is just talk. It's, you know, he can come over here, he can say whatever he wants to make people, you know, to give feel-good speeches and to play to the crowd that he's speaking to at the time. But the bottom line is, this is our country. God brought us back here. We didn't go through everything that we've been through over the last 2,000 years to lay down and let somebody walk in here and run over us. And it's just not going to happen. And ultimately, Barack Obama or no one else that's born of flesh and blood is the one who decides these matters. Our Father in Heaven decides them, and he has the final say.
Wow. Wow, that is a profound statement. Rabbi Yoel Karen, he's a special friend of us here on Prophecy Today, one of our distinguished broadcast partners, and always brings great information to the table, as he has done today as well. Rabbi, Chag Sameach to you for Passover and Unleavened Bread, and we'll have some more holidays coming up. I'll talk to you about them as well, but have a great Passover.
Thanks for having me.